Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. Every so often in life, we are given the privilege by God to establish new friendships. This has been true recently for my wife and myself. Totally unplanned and unexpected, we have become fast friends with David and his wife Ruth. And this couple have one big and beautiful garden, let me tell you. Ruth is the chief gardener, and she really knows what she is doing. Refreshingly, she is also a good and patient teacher who is passing along all sorts of tips to my wife about how to garden at our home. David knows his flowers and plants also, but like me, he is working at his day job while the ladies get together to tend the lush garden, which is a lot of work. If you garden, then you know what hard work is. One of the things my wife does is she waters Ruth's garden. And if you were like me, then you might assume this is simply filling up a watering can with some water from the faucet and then tiptoeing through the soil, pouring out some H2O along the way. Not so. Watering this yard is a much bigger task. It requires a lot of water, especially in the warm weather summer. She can be over there for hours. And there is something pure and wholesome about watching that clear water come winding down the hose and out onto the roots of flowers and plants, which is soaked up by soil and used as nutrition so the flowers and fruit and vegetables will blossom. Friends, in order to witness the beauty of a fruitful garden, one must water, water, water. I thought of this here in our study of Psalm 1, and I will make another connection to Ruth soon. Let me read Psalm 1, verse 3, which continues to describe what a blessed person is like. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Thus far, we have seen how the tree got here, a tree firmly planted. This tree was chosen, picked, and specifically selected to be taken from where it was and brought here to where it grows by streams of water. That is where this tree grows. And now let's learn what the tree yields. The text continues, which yields its fruit in its season. Let's talk about what the tree yields, which is fruit, and let's talk about when it yields, which is in its season. Remember, the psalmist is comparing the blessed man and woman to the tree. So what is the fruit a blessed person yields? I do not know about you, but immediately my mind is drawn to the New Testament letter of Galatians in chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul names the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in the Christian who is firmly planted by streams of water. Paul writes, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." That's fruit. Really ripe, juicy, tasty, fresh fruit. This tree yields this. And when? The psalmist says in its season. Fruitfulness is seasonable. Farmers and gardeners know this. Actually, we all know this. We would not expect to find fresh strawberries growing in a brutally cold New England winter. We would not imagine the freshest raspberry being gathered in February. Oh, we may still have these fruits in our supermarkets in the winter, but only if they are frozen or genetically engineered. Yuck. One of the many lessons my wife has received from our friend Ruth is to know what grows when in a garden. Well, no wonder I was gently reminded to bring home Montauk daisies in October so they could be planted before winter in order to reappear in the fall. If you want to be a successful gardener, then you've got to know when is the proper season to do what. Ruth knows exactly when to do what, and now she is passing along her knowledge to my beloved, who then invites my participation as her assistant in getting our own garden up and running, or should I say up and blooming. Likewise, God knows when to draw from the blessed people just the right fruit in just the right season. And Ecclesiastes says there is a season for everything. I am reading Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. That's Ecclesiastes 3. Indeed, there is a season for everything, and so this blessed, happy, and righteous person yields fruit, spiritual fruit, in its season. What season of life are you in? In that season, are you producing fruit? For example, are you loving in a time of hate? Are you patient in a time of suffering? Are you faithful in a season of temptation? Are you kind in a time of rudeness? Are you joyful in a time of sadness? Are you self-controlled in a time of impulsivity? According to Psalm 1, the blessed, happy, and righteous person yields the fruit of the Spirit in the right season. And it is God who puts us in these seasons. He sovereignly and supernaturally leads his dear children along through appointed times. We can be sure of this. I know the season I am in. What about you? What fruit is the Lord calling you to yield in the time in which he now has you? If you are the person Psalm 1 verses 1 through 3 describes, then you will be fruitful in today's season, just like the tree is fruitful in its season. As we continue in verse 3, I told you last time there are five things to notice about this tree. First, it is firmly planted. Second, it is planted by streams of water. Third, it yields its fruit in its season. Fourth, its leaf does not wither. And fifth, therefore, in whatever the blessed person does, he or she prospers. What is meant by the leaf does not wither? I believe the leaf represents the outward testimony of the blessed person. Yes, of the Christian person. The psalmist describes the fruit before he does the leaf. That is interesting. In many trees, the leaf is constant, whereas the fruit is seasonal. So too, in the life of the Christian, our outward witness is constant, while the fruit comes only in God's timing. J. Vernon McGee says, God's trees are evergreens. They never lose their testimony. And then he tells this amusing story with a not-so-funny point. A friend of mine, while taking a course at a seminary in New York one summer, went to one of these famous churches in New York City one Sunday. He said, I walked down on Sunday morning to this great church and saw over the entrance, carved in stone, these words, The Gate of Heaven. Then I saw underneath it a temporary sign, Closed during July and August. Too often this happens in the lives of individual believers, but it should not, my friend. You are always an evergreen. Your leaf is the outward testimony that you have in this world for Christ. All God's children are evergreens. Well, that was Dr. McGee. The blessed person has leaves that do not wither. And lastly, there is a prospering. Verse 3 ends with this, and in whatever he does, he prospers. I want to say two things here. First, prosperity here does not mean earthly riches. Today's health, wealth, and prosperity preachers are quick to say it does. They are wrong. That's a very poor and terribly misleading misinterpretation. Listen to Martin Luther. With regard to this prospering, take heed that you understand not a carnal prosperity. This prosperity is hidden prosperity and lies entirely secret in spirit. He's right. This prosperity is spiritual, not material. I'll say that again. This prosperity is spiritual, not material. Not all Christians can be rich, but all Christians can be prosperous. Second, the prosperity written about here requires us to have faith. This has happened to me. We look at our lives and we do not see the fruit. We are like Jacob. We think everything is against us. We desire our souls to be prosperous for God in this world, and we sometimes, often, struggle to see how this is happening. Ah, but if we will persist, walking by faith and never giving up, then one day in eternity we will see the fruit that has come from our lives. The blessed person is like a tree that yields fruit. Whatever they do prospers. Do you believe it? Well, next time, Lord willing, we move on to verse 4 of Psalm 1. Join us then, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.